Hail Cheaters, and welcome to the final podcast of the 2022-2023 Fantasy Premier League season. My name is Josh. This is the Always Cheating Podcast. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Joshua, Dale, Landon, I am good, and I am holding the brim of my cap as I tip it toward the season and wish it adieu. Yes. Goodbye, farewell. We're here to sort of like, I guess, more sort of remember the good times and the bad of the previous season. Do a little TikTok. I had this conversation with my wife the other day. I said, you know, such and such a article gave a TikTok on January 6th or something like this. And she was, is that in reference to the social media platform TikTok? And I had to explain, no, for those who are not paying attention, there is a form of like recounting an event that happened that is a TikTok. And I want to give the TikTok of game week 38. Would that not be
like an antiquated? Did you make that up? Is that that's a real thing?
No, I definitely didn't make that up. I think that's a thing. Like it's sort of like a TikTok as the clock goes. This is what happened minute by minute, hour by hour. If you could be in the Black Horse with the cheaters for game week 38.
It's like that Johnny Depp movie where it's like the whole thing is in real time. Like,
which is called TikTok, perhaps? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. Which,
there was a moment, Josh, in the Manchester United Fulham match, which Sabitzer was being ushered down from wherever he was sat as a non-playing player, where he looked like Johnny Depp because he was wearing sunglasses and had a man bun of some kind. And it was just like, why is Johnny Depp an unused substitute for Manchester United?
You know, no, it's Sabitzer. Of all the, like, Man United buys an aging player to capture some of his past. Like, that one actually kind of worked a little bit, you know, until he got injured. It was surprisingly effective, the Sabitzer signing. So, but I could go on about Man United, Brandon, probably the most irrelevant team in fantasy today. Well, there were a handful.
Bruno Fernandes was a big trigger.
That's
in
true.
Tables.
That's true. Lower ownership than I was expecting, even in the top 10K. I think it was only in the 60s, maybe. A very interesting final day. A day that probably is going to force the Fantasy Premier League game to make some changes going into the summer. I can't imagine anybody wants to do what just happened today, which is debate. Like I feel like the Premier League, the Fantasy Premier League, effectively ceded the floor to a bunch of like people who know people. It was a festival of leaks. The degree of which I have never in my life seen. I've never
like
seen.
Hanukkah is a festival of lights. Game week 38 is a festival of leaks.
Yeah, it was just leak after leak after leak, and it was, you know, I felt like I was in a Whole Foods, Brandon, with all the leaks that I was seeing. You know, it was very.
Here we go. Now we're hitting rock bottom. So my question to that is, I agree. I set my alarm with 2 hours to the deadline here in New York to just scroll through prospective
leaks. Well, 8 a.m. Wow, that's
yeah, really struggling over here. Yeah, my guy. But my feeling is like, does that make a sound in Stockley Park or wherever the fantasy team lies?
Know.
Because I don't mean, and as we would discuss in terms of the FPL community, which historically over the last 5 to 10 years has been most active on Twitter, which is a social media platform that is withering on the vine. I just don't know. Like, I feel like we might be in a little bit of a bubble here where we think a problem exists where it's just a problem of our own making.
I guess so. I mean, they did move it from 60 to 90 once before. I mean, the problem I have now is honestly that it's not really fair the way it is now, right? I mean, it's sort of the idea of doing a deadline. You know, they just didn't solve the problem the right way, in my opinion, when they moved the deadline from 60 to 90. You have to make the deadline after the first team. First of all, you could just do it the most high chaos way, which is what they do in NFL fantasy, which is that you can just change your team before every game happens. And I refuse to accept the defense that the site isn't good enough to handle that. It's the Premier League. They got plenty of money. You know, they're the only game in town, and so they don't take the steps they need to make a functioning website. Like, I don't I don't have to hold water for the Premier League, for goodness sakes, right? I mean, they mint money. Like, the idea that they can't run a website that can handle some traffic is absurd, when every other fantasy site can do that just fine. But at the very least, the only fair solution ultimately is, you shouldn't have to create a Twitter account in order to find out what's happening. I mean, Harry Kane went from, you know, 13% effective ownership to 100% effective ownership in the course of an hour today, at least in the top 10K, right? So everybody was just going on Twitter and looking at these leaks and pulling out what they could. And it's just, you know, if the idea is, well, it's, you know, it's bad if you're in Australia or New Zealand or wherever, how is this better? You know, I mean, it's like, if it's going to hurt you either way, I'd at least rather have a 1 hour window, you know, between when the actual lineups are out, and I don't have to spend hours, you know, waiting for some 23-year-old Sky Sports employee to like drop, you know, some, you know, private information that came through the fax machine or whatever.
I think it is how the season ends, and we have felt the ripple effects of the Queen's death since September when it happened, which created a hole in the fixture schedule, double game week, European schedule, rotation squad amongst squads that become wealthier and wealthier, who have deeper and deeper squads, has been the likes of which we haven't ever seen. I think it's fair to say.
Game week 38 ever from that.
So leaks become the top of conversation, and I am just going to posit, just become the scapegoat for the fact that lineups are just very difficult. We are used to lineups being more stable than they currently are. And are we blaming deadlines and team leaks for the actual fact of teams are just getting rotated and there is a flaw in the fantasy game, not because of the deadline, but because of our lack of having squad depth in our fantasy team?
I don't think so. I mean, it's not just squad depth, because I mean, a lot of these players did come on for 1 point. I mean, you know, it's sort of, you know, I think it's, I mean, to me, I don't like the anxiety of it, right? I mean, you and I were talking about this before the pod started. Let me enjoy my morning and my breakfast, and then an hour before the matches, show me the team sheets, and I have an hour to adjust accordingly, instead of refreshing Twitter and then trying to decide if a leak that comes through is valid or not. And you can say, yeah, you can just ignore it, but you kind of can't. If I had ignored all those leaks today, I wouldn't have had Harry Kane, right? My lineup would have looked radically different. I had to pay attention to that stuff. And so the fact that I'm dealing with this incomplete information, I found it very frustrating. It made me very anxious having to constantly refresh for hours, and then, oh, so-and-so leaked, but then so-and-so blocked them, so I guess that must not be a valid account. It's like, give me a break. Just like, let me see the team sheet, goodness sakes, and let me adjust accordingly.
It's an argument for not being online insofar as you're going to quote-unquote online people for information, where you should just be like, hey, you're the league who runs the sport. Could I get the information from you? Could the information be a part of the game?
I guess that's what I'm ultimately saying. So, you know, because by the time, game week 38 kicks off, I have some small leads in a handful of mini leagues that we're in. And so I am like, but the anxiety of spending 3 hours looking for leaks and making changes has got me like hopped up into a massive state, right? And so I show up at the Black Horse, and I wouldn't even say that I'm happy. I would say I was too keyed up to enjoy myself, and maybe that would have been true no matter what. I don't know. The matches starting 90 minutes later didn't help either. It's always nice when I'm still drinking my first cup of coffee when game week 38 kicks off. It's already, especially in America, you know, in the UK, because of
Princess and the Pea over here with game week 38.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know. What is that a reference to? What do you mean?
You know, the story of the Princess and the Pea is she's sleeping on her mattress and something slightly uncomfortable because there was a pee under the mattress. And the,
I know the story. How's that relevant?
I'm just saying, like, it's sort of like a cascading effect of like all of these little slights and little pees entered into Josh Landon's Game Week 38.
Sure. And maybe everybody else thinks this is fun. Maybe everybody else likes an account with 8 followers. But anyway, I'm just sort of feeling like a little anxious going into the day. And then the deadline was 90 minutes later. So we get to the bar. The bar is inexplicably not open. And that didn't help me either. Just standing out in the sun.
In the cold.
It was like 72 degrees. But still, it didn't help, right? And then, of course, I got another cup of coffee because I was waiting around. That made me even more anxious, right? So I'm just a
What did you pay for nerves. The cup of coffee? How much did that set you back?
But it was a cheap, actually.
$3.72?
By New York standards, it was like $3.25. For a cold, wow. like a small cold brew. That was not bad. Black. Yeah. And I did tip, you know, of course, too. Someone recently said, you know, anytime you get a cup of coffee and you can just round up, that's what you should do, right? So it's like if it's 3.22, you know, you go up to 4. Like that's what, you know. Okay. Or if they do the $1, now everything's square, right? So it's sort of I do percentage or just $1 if that's the option. So anyway.
Sure. Pay it forward. That's what you got to do.
Exactly. And then I had been debating all morning between Salah and Kane, and I just couldn't decide. And ultimately, my feeling was I thought Salah would really want to get his 20th goal. He's on 19 of the season. I thought it would be a wide open game with lots of goals in it. It turned out to be true.
That's correct. 4-4, a classic, a vintage Game Week 38 scoreline.
So true. Just like that Man United match you were talking about on the Patreon pod, the 5-5 Man United Everton match. So I just thought he'd get a lot of goals, and I thought maybe. It's not that I thought Leicester or that Leeds could necessarily keep Kane in check, but I thought, well, Kane isn't necessarily like a 2 goals and assists kind of guy this season, right? He's incredibly consistent, but he's like a... A lot of 8 and 9 pointers are what we're getting from Kane, right? And I was like, well, maybe Salah could get a brace or get a goal and assist. And so that was the thinking. And so I'm super anxious. I go with Salah. I sit down, bang, like 30 seconds into the match, Kane scores a goal. And I'm basically done from there. I am just like spiraling. It's 2 hours of spiraling. I go outside to get air. 2, maybe 3 times. By the way, this is all happening with all like tons of our friends there. It's like 15 people, all of whom are enjoying themselves, you know, more or less. And it was like a throwback. I don't think I've had a real like super intense FPL experience like that in a while. I don't hope to have one again for a while. It was a bit much. But I mean, well, from your perspective, tell me about your day, you know?
Well, yeah, the morning on, I similarly knew that leaks were going to be a part of my setting my team because having Haaland, and the question going into game week 38 really just revolved around Haaland. We've built an entire fantasy season around this one player.
Yeah.
And, so many questions about where is my standing and overall rank in my mini leagues is how do I be different with my captain? And Haaland is just there like the boogeyman in your closet. I don't know how big your closet is that you could fit. Would Erling Haaland have to hunch over to fit inside of your bedroom closet, Josh?
Weirdly, no. It goes quite high by New York standards.
Fantastic. <Yeah. laughs> So Erling Haaland fitting comfortably into some Brooklyn closets. But he will pop out. And I felt like the leaks just like given the potency. And I agree with what you were saying about Harry Kane. And what we sort of like have all come to realize about Harry Kane is like he's been here the whole time just scoring goals.
Yeah.
And but we've not paid attention to him because of the power of Erling Haaland and such. We had to pay such respect to it going into Game Week 38. Yeah. Therefore, the leaks suggesting that Erling Haaland was on the bench, if not even having traveled with the team, makes Harry Kane, for anybody looking for an edge, so crucial. Yeah. And that's where I do agree with you, where the leak culture is very influential in certain areas of the fantasy game, because deciding to go Kane instead of Haaland and just like getting rid of Haaland, which in any other game week seemed unfathomable. It was actually quite breathtaking in a good way for me to just ditch Haaland. I transferred Haaland out, had him every game week this season. And as the leaks said that Haaland wasn't going to start, I had in my mind, I mean, you brought in Kane as well. You knew the power of Kane. And I wanted to climb more than, I wanted to climb more than hold than you. So I decided to captain Kane. So as we as the games kicked off and Kane scored, when I walked into the Black Horse, I felt that I didn't think I was going to be so different going captain Kane. And what I understood walking into the kickoffs of Game Week 38 was actually way more people went captain Salah than I thought. I thought with the news that Haaland wasn't going to start for City that it was just going to be everyone captain Kane. Because what I believed was that even though Kane was like just a one-goal man all season, that Leeds just had to score in the belief in how bad, and I apologize to every Leeds supporter who is listening right now, and I have seen the team that I support get relegated multiple times.
Yeah.
It's no bueno. It's no good. But you're just Leeds. The Leeds squad and the Leeds management was not good enough, and
it's not always the worst thing. You know, it's not always worst thing.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Everton, oddly, was the best equipped to go down. Like, they would have bounced right back up.
Yeah.
Leeds, I do think, could also hang on to a lot of players. I do think that that they could hang on to, you know, our beloved American and some other key players and come right back up. So when that Kane goal went in, I thought, here we go. I feel like this is going to be a rare, great game week 38 for Brandon. And it kind of became a reliving of my entire season in real time, down to my goalkeeper of Ederson, who, I mean, hilariously, I had the Ederson-Alisson goalkeeper rotation, quote unquote. And it was Alisson was leaked to not be in. Alisson was not in the lineup. Am I going to have no of my premium goalkeepers, no starters? Ederson starts, and I didn't want to start him because I knew exactly what was going to happen. Man City were going to leak a goal somewhere late into the second half, which they did. Yep. I was looking so smooth with Ederson on three saves, Max Bones, and Brentford scored, and I lose that clean sheet, which my edge in the game week disappeared at that point because I only had 10 players. I had no bench to speak of. Kurt Zuma, Luke Shaw, Andreas Pereira, and Lewis Dunk, who Brighton. We can come back to this later, Josh. But how Brighton have been the most interesting storyline of the entire fantasy season, and yet they have tanked so many fantasy teams in the last month. But all to say, even though like I had some ups and downs, the goal was my fantasy season just kind of was evaporating very quickly. I like 4 weeks ago was at 39K, was at 89K going into game week 38. And now I had a green arrow up to 85K. Fantastic. I wanted to hold in the top 100K. That was, you know, at some point you just let go of cash and money and mini leagues and all that sort of thing.
Totally.
So the fact that the body count didn't rise for me felt very good. So I feel like the season is like leaves me. And it leaves me with not positive energy, but it leaves me with a friendly sort of handshake. And now something that I haven't reckoned with and what we must do now and over the course of the summer is what did we learn? Because I think this season has been, what do you think, Josh? this is the probably the third season running where we've had to deal with some maniacal events, acts of God from COVID and all that sort of thing, and deaths in the monarchy. Is this the most challenging of all those seasons, this season we've just finished?
Last season would still take the cake for me because it was the most frustrating last season, at least, just because nothing could top matches getting postponed 30 minutes before they started. And remember that one game week where there was literally one match? It was just Arsenal Leeds as the only game, and it was just, at some point I was like, this is not a game anymore. Like, I don't know what this is, but this is, and this season had a little
more
bit
like
of
Michael,
that,
the game starring Michael Douglas at that point.
Yeah, exactly. But this at least had the it felt like a game all season long. I think, it was an interesting season. I mean, I think it's interesting you brought up the Ederson losing that clean sheet actually was what kept me in the top 10K. So bad for you, but it was good for me. I was at like 10,640, and then I jumped like about 1,000 spots after that went away. So I'm feeling a little, I guess I'm sounding hugely disappointed. I'm really not. It's more that I'm still getting the anxiety out of my system a little bit from, I tripled my rank over the last 3 weeks, and that was sort of frustrating because it is. It's like we've talked about this before, but you just recalibrate your expectations, right? I mean, if I was at 20K going into the final 3 weeks, then my goal would have been top 10K. If you're at 3K, your goal is, well, what kind of cool moves can I do to try to crack the 1K, right? Whatever it is. And so in the short term, there's always a little disappointment when you don't hit your goals. It doesn't mean that a week from now, I'm going to be sitting around boiling still that I, had this horrible season or anything like that. I really don't feel that way at all. I'm absolutely thrilled. It's my fifth season in the top 10K. I think it's a really impressive accomplishment, and I'm really happy that I cracked it. But I just feel like I left some points on the table. I mean, you talked about what we learned this season. I mean, I think one thing that's interesting about this podcast, and maybe the way that you and I have talked to each other this season, is, well, first of all, we made a real effort this year to stay positive all year, which is something that we didn't necessarily always do last season. And I think despite the possibly tetchy opening to this podcast, I think that we've mostly kept to that all year, right? I think we've kept a very positive tone all season. And I think the idea there is not just like a better listening experience for people, but it's also that this should be fun, right? That's what that's why you should be listening. That's why we should be doing the podcast. That's why we should play at all, is it should be fun. And if you can't find the fun, then you're probably not approaching the game the right way. And so I think it was kind of like, it's like sometimes it's like what's that thing where it's like, fake it till you make it or whatever. It's like sometimes it's like you just put on a friendly face, right? Like find a way to frame it in the best way. And that's like you trick your brain after a while, right? And then,
hey, we are having fun. Look at us.
Yeah, exactly. Which we were. But it's like the opposite can definitely hold true too, right? Which is that if you start to frame everything in a negative way, then everything starts to be seen through
sure.
that.
Sure. Yeah, right? I believe that for sure.
Yeah, even good stuff. And so I think that was really cool. But I think the other thing that I think is interesting is I think you and I talked more about our respective philosophies and approaches to FPL this season. And I think that has been interesting. And I think, we have talked before about your occasional conservatism, and the, maybe the drawbacks of that. But I really felt down the stretch for me that the way I can be like a little reckless and fast and loose and not really care about team value became a real problem right at the end of the season for me on a couple of different occasions. And it's something like that I can now consider kind of a leak in my game, right? That I want to fix. And so I don't know. I think that was kind of fun for me this year, though, the way you and I sort of talked at various times about how we actually, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to sound to whatever, but it's like it is sort of fun to like tease that out, you know, like that sort of as like a metaphor for your own, like the way you look at the world or whatever, you know. It's sort of just a fun way to think. It's like poker, the way you know, does the way you play poker say something about your personality, right? Or, you know, whatever. It's like, are they totally you know, unrelated or unreflective of each other.
Yeah, what I find interesting about that idea of is the way you play a game reflective of your personality, or is your personality going to dictate how you play a game? I don't like the framing of a game's going to dictate who you are. I don't think that's what you're saying, but I like in a positive way, it's okay for the way you play a game to be an extension of who you are.
Sure. And to be very clear about this, when you think about just games in general and you think about the people in your lives who win, like a lot of the games that you play, do those always strike you as like the people who are like doing the best, you know, like the people that are, you know, it's clearly not true, right? It's like, you know, and I'm talking about like literally anything, right? It's like, think about the people at trivia nights or whatever, right? It's like, so I don't think that it's like a, it's a through line in the sense that there's like winners and losers. It's more about like what, like the way that you approach the game. It's kind of interesting, you know?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. And that I think is what we're, when this season, when we try to express the positive nature of the game, it is not a binary goal. You win or you lose. You're not top 100K, 10K or nothing.
Right. Yeah.
It is a, what do you want? What do you want in relation to how do you want to play a game? And we have to figure out both of those things in order to find out a satisfying way in which you can enjoy playing the game. If your goal is to win or to be top 10K, okay, great. You have to be okay with playing the game a certain way. But if your goal is to maintain some sort of individual personality and be a little bit devil more care, great. We can play. We can figure out a pathway for that as well. Or you probably don't need anyone to figure out a pathway for you in that situation.
I mean, just think about the end of, right? I maybe had more moments where my game week score brought me, you know, happiness or whatever than you this season. But then also think about what happened at the end of game week 38 when I Irish goodbyed our entire group of friends and you stuck around joking and laughing and drinking beers for two more hours, right? So who's the real winner there, you know?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a tricky one.
Yeah. See, that's a good segue to our friends who joined us at the Black Horse, of course. Always Cheating being we cover the English Premier League, but we are based in New York City. Proudly so. We're American carpetbaggers, but we do love this game. And we love playing host to people who come to New York as Premier League fans from abroad or who live here. And we had the pleasure of hanging out at the Black Horse with expats, with American locals, New York locals. We had Michelle from Swindon. Weirdly enough, Josh, in New York City, in one bar, random bar in Brooklyn, you could have two British expats both hailing from Swindon in the same place.
I know. It's weird.
Not related. Yeah. I mean, I guess we have to run a DNA test for that matter, but pretty wild. And best of luck to Sheffield Wednesday in their playoff on Monday. And Danny, we're really pulling for Wednesday there. Up the Chuppa Chups.
That's right.
Who else was there? We Jeff and Luke, of course, and we had Brandon, and was it Zach who came by way of Philadelphia? Could we name them all? Tyler as well.
Yeah, I don't think we can or should. But there was a lot of people there. It's like it's going to turn into a romper room. Remember that when she looks through the mirror, you know, and name people. Yeah. So, but yeah, thanks to everyone who came out. Thanks to the Black Horse for finally opening the doors about 10 minutes before the match started. That was a great move, guys.
Cool,
40 people all outside wanting to drink beers. Well, all the windows were open and the TVs
shout
were
out
on.
To the guy wearing a Christian Pulisic jersey, the guy who still insists that, I don't know, The Alchemist is a great novel or something like that. I don't know.
Pulisic, that's a topic for the off season is Christian Pulisic because Now that Everton have stayed up, I think that's got to be his next club. It's just so logical. I don't know. It just feels so like such a perfect
fit. Wait, Everton, you said?
Yeah, don't you think Everton would be a good fit for Pulisic?
Yes, I think that's fine. Yes, I think
I think that's that's the Landon Donovan move, right? It's like, you know, and I he could play different positions, and I mean, I don't know. I mean, the problem with Pulisic is you just have to assume at this point that he's going to be injured more or less continuously throughout the end of his career. I mean, he's never not been right as a pro, and so
we don't have a clear understanding of this, given that he just doesn't play at Chelsea anymore.
Yeah, but
it's going to be an interesting offseason for Americans in the Premier League, because Tyler Adams, Brendan Aaronson, Weston McKennie all going down. We've got Horvath from Luton Town. Shout out to all the Hatters fans out there. We must have thousands upon thousands of new Luton Town fans tuning in to always cheating. We'll get to preview their team and all that. I do wonder if Horvath is going to survive the summer. We don't know.
I hope so. That'd be fun. He has fewer caps. I was Googling him yesterday because I feel like he's been kicking around the U.S. men's team for a long time, but it turns out he only has a small handful of caps.
I think he's just a victim to Matt Turner being as good as he is in the then shadow of Zach Steffen, who is now just kind of a dope.
Where is
in the
Steffen
championship
now?
He's at Middlesbrough at the moment.
Okay. Is that a loan, or is he just moved from Man City?
I don't know if it's a loan or not, but don't worry about it. It's not like you're going to see him starting in cup matches for Man City anytime soon.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right. Well, let's quickly run off a couple of winners here. Always cheating Super League winners. Yeah, we got to figure out, Brandon. We have to like sit down next week with a piece, like a pen and paper, and figure out who we got to send prizes to. We got a lot of prizes out there. We got to distribute. But let's kick things off with the Always Cheating Super League Top 10. Siakir Tay, kind of that name has been all around this year, Brandon. I'm glad to see Siakir stick around in the top 10. Vicky Davis, Guillerme Almeida, Hakan Vingelsgaard, Sarah Edge, the Edges, kept in the top 10K. Congrats to them. Stephen Caulfield, Charlie Boyle, NG Wesley, Wong Tracy, and Khalid Zaki. Khalid Zaki finishes first in the Always Cheating Super League, Connie FC. Congrats to Khalid. Khalid, if you are out there and you're listening to this podcast right now, please send us a message, either hailcheaters@gmail.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, Blue Sky. You can find me over there, Brandon, Blue Sky, on our Discord, wherever you want to find us. And we'll get you. We get some Always Cheating merch.
I've got a weird thing about Khalid there. So he finishes ranked 5 overall in the world at the end of the season, which is an incredible rank.
That's great.
Go back to the 2019-2020 season. Alex Coates tops the Super League at rank 39. You wouldn't believe it, but in 2020-2021, Finn Sally also finishes in 39th. So two seasons in a row, the winner of the Always Cheating Super League finishes in 39th position. So as discussed, who is the winner? The Super League?
Khaled Zaki.
Khaled finishes in 5th. Guess where our winner last season ranked overall in the world?
I'm going to guess
fifth.
I was like, should I give you a funny
It's a leading question.
Leading
question. So what are the odds that 2-2, we've got people finishing the same rank overall? It's very interesting, but we're moving up in the world. We got strings of 39 to strings of 35. Soon enough, the winner of the FPL game will also be the winner of the Super League. It is destined.
That's true. I know. And it's such a great, and as you could tell by my terrible reading of all the names, it's a extremely international league, which is very, very cool. More than 25,000 managers in there, right? So that's it's good stuff. We also have a Patreon league, Brandon. We don't often shout out the Patreon supporters on this. I mean, we started the Patreon supporters, we don't always shout out the Patreon league in this podcast. I just wanted to quickly say a big thanks to them, because they're the ones who allow us to keep doing this podcast each week. And if you've enjoyed the podcast this season and you want to come say thanks, we'll be back doing pods in, I don't know, presumably July. I mean, certainly wouldn't be in August. You know, we'll do it in July. We're going to take June off because we need to, you know, as you can tell, I lost my voice here, Brandon, you know, too. Mm-hmm. That's part of it. So we're going to do a little reset this summer and then come back, I don't know, usually after the 4th of July. That's usually a good time for us to kick things off. So I want to shout out the top 10, though, in the Always Cheating Patreon League. Oscar Hjarp, Dave Ling, Rod Goodyear, Dave Newell, Chris Bush. And then we're at the top 5 now. Chris Krushka, Zoltan Vago, Todd Byerly, Nick Wright, and Eric Sibbles. Nick Wright made a huge surge down the stretch. Almost got Eric Sibbles
shot
off of his incredible perch that he was on all season. But Eric holds on in first, so congrats to him. And both those guys did finish in the top 1,000, so congrats to both those guys.
Yeah, and special acknowledgement to Carrie Swanson, who is a producer patron and won our, or she's a Volkswagen patron, I think, and won the Volkswagen producer patron head-to-head league. And if you want to get in a high-stakes Patreon head-to-head, you got to be a Patreon supporter at that level before Game Week 1 next season. And one of the perks of being a Patreon supporter is our very legendary Last Cheater Standing tournament run by the incredible Dave and Francis. They are the angels that haunt the hallways of the Always Cheating Discord. We love them. Yeah. And everyone is just infatuated with this competition, The Last Cheater Standing. And Corey Cummings emerges in this season as victorious. Congratulations, Corey. Don yourself in cape and gown and scepter. You are the winner.
Congrats, Corey. And it was a lot of fun. I was honestly heartbroken when I got knocked out. I think did you and I get knocked out in the same week? I feel like it was around that
you
time.
Got I it was sort of like you know, who are the twins in G.I. Joe, like the Destro twins or something like when you got knocked out, and the very following week I was knocked out, and
it's like when a couple that's been married for a long time, it's like one of the people dies and the other one dies like, you know, 3 months later,
pretty much.
We had to go out.
I had no one to do the shopping for me when you got knocked out, so I had to off myself.
So here we are, you know, we've come to the end of the road. We talked a little bit about today's matches. I don't think we need to talk about the season as a whole too much here. I am curious. I sort of at the very top of the pod said I think they're going to change some of the deadlines, the way it works, one way or the other. Either they're going to make the deadline like 3 hours before the matches, or they're going to do it closer to game time. Do you think there's going to be any other a couple questions, actually. Yeah, one, do you think there's going to be any actual changes to the game itself? And two, What do you think they're going to do with prices next season? Because I know prices were kind of a kind of a problem this year because everyone was cheap enough that there was an argument that because everyone was kind of the same price, it led to some very samey teams. Everyone could kind of own all the key players. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I see both of these problems on their face and respect them, but at the same time, these are the same problems we've been talking about every season.
Sure.
There is always the question of template teams. Everyone's got the same. How do I be different? We know this from questions from our listeners at the end of every season. Like, I'm trying to gain ground, but I have the same team as everyone. I don't think that prices necessarily dictate that. I think if there is any culprit, it is the midfield, where there were not enough sort of like 7 to 8 million.
Yeah.
But you have to augment that with why would we even want them? Because Arsenal, their midfielders, we had too many to choose from and they were producing. So it's like, I don't want to complain about the gift horse that was Arsenal midfield. I think what's really intriguing looking ahead to next season is who is going to be the next Arsenal. And we've seen this wave of Arsenal before with Odegaard, Saka, Martinelli in the 6 to 7 million range. You look back to Leicester with Riyad Mahrez. Just like, there's always an incredible sect of assets in there. And like, is Chelsea going to be downgraded in price to a degree and then improved to the opposite degree by Pochettino, that they become new? I just see it kind of as like enchanting and exciting to be like, where are the bargains going to be? I don't really buy the argument that prices dictated how template the teams were.
I don't really either. I feel like,
go ahead.
I think there's a keeping up with the Joneses mentality that some people seem to have, which is that, I have to get that player because everyone else is, or whatever, you know. And I know this is somewhat tied in with the fact that you can go to all these sites now and you can check the effective ownership at all these people. And there's a feeling like, all the teams are the same because that's the optimal pick or whatever. And then, you know, I don't know. And to me, it's like if your range of options is, it might just be too narrow in some cases. And so, but I also do think some players were mispriced a little bit this year, up and down. I think that Sun came in too high, maybe overstated his, there are actually some players that were effectively unownable this season. And it would be kind of cool if you could do, this would be like maybe impossible to do, but it'd be cool if you could like reset some, like a handful of prices in midseason, like just make Raheem Sterling like 8 million, you know, in January or something like that. And it's like, well, we got that one wrong. Like, yeah, that'd be such a cool. Yeah.
Counterpoint. You've just checked Son and Sterling, both players. Like, was there a point at any time during the season where you would have wanted to have these players regardless of price?
Maybe Sun, like this specific game week. I don't know. There were a couple of doubles that they had. But, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, the example doesn't. But, you know, the problem was they were so expensive, they weren't ownable. So it does cut both ways a little bit. And I actually think in general that they're, I mean, I don't know, that getting mad about prices, it's like I do think they're more or less doing their best. And I think this idea that they're pricing, I actually think people get a little galaxy brained about it, like, they're pricing them low so that the fans of the teams will be able to have all their favorite players or whatever. And it's like, okay, that's how casuals, that, you know, because the whole thing's a PR push. No. And I'm like, come on.
This, as discussed, this is the opposite of a PR push, this fantasy game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if it is a game like a website that doesn't work, like, I don't know what to tell, you know. But yeah, it's a... So I do not think that's the case. I think they're trying their best. I think when someone like Haaland came in, there were some doubts about whether he was going to, there was the spacing thing, right? Is he going to be able to find the space that he found in the Bundesliga? And of course, that kind of immediately became rendered obviously incorrect, but yeah, they don't know that. I mean, this stuff, you know, stuff's all very easy in hindsight, and so they priced him 11.5. Maybe he should have been 12.5. I don't know, but like, yeah, I guess he'll be 14 next year. I mean, he's got to be pretty high.
I was talking to somebody at the Black Horse today where they're lamenting the prices, and they're like, "You remember the season where Mane was 0.5 cheaper than Salah? Like, what a misprice that was." And I'm like, "Well, what was the problem?" Like, well, Mane was 0.5 cheaper, and that was somehow a disincentive for me getting Mane. And I'm like, I don't really understand your reasoning here. Did Mane do really well that season? Well, yes, he did very well that season. However, it's very armchair crap. And it is, I think it's the nature of the budget salary cap fantasy game is just kind of clunky. This is why a draft game is, I mean, it's
a little,
maybe there's a cleaner nature to the draft game because of that. Like, how do you, for it, the entire managerial pool, cleanly price every player?
Yeah.
Like that is beyond asking. I think so.
Yeah.
If we can field teams that we generally get points from, which we have done year after year after year, it's fine. And the game is to work around that. And
it's a different game.
I think what will define this particular season is how cheap our teams were.
Yeah.
And how, like you were saying, you lamented not having greater team value. Well, you didn't worry yourself from team value because you could afford most players that you wanted throughout most of the season.
Yeah.
But throughout the course of the season, there was always one big strategic debate of, do I go triple premium? Can I get Kane, Haaland, and Salah? So there are still, like, the prices this season, and I think every season, never stand in the way of these real strategic pivot points. And where I think you and I both fell short toward the end of the season was we couldn't figure out how to fit the best premium players in at the same time. Like, we lost so many points to where we could have gotten Kane, and we didn't choose that strategy.
Yeah, dropping Kane and the wild card. And yeah, I just think, Kane was a big one. That's a big miss. And I think, I mean, it just goes back to this sort of central tenet that we have talked a lot about this season, which is to really focus on proven talent. I don't know how else to, it's probably a more interesting way to say that, but like, you know, just like players who with a strong track record of success are the people that you really want to be banking on, especially late in the season when points are, I mean, the points
you
are always
sure bets,
I don't know.
Right?
Yeah, sure bets. Yeah, exactly. I mean, look at Eze this week, right? The ultimate kind of, bandwagon. Mm-hmm. Not that he hasn't done good things, but it was just sort of like, you know, there was,
that was a hope and a prayer.
It was a hope and a prayer. Right, exactly. Palace had nothing to play for. And to be honest, if things had broken differently, I would have brought in Eze myself. And so I don't want to make it sound like it was a crazy transfer. Once we found out that like a third of my team wasn't starting, then, you know,
I know, God,
dictates your strategy. Hey, they, that was wild. Yeah. I think you were right when you said before with the double game weeks, and then all of the, basically the way it worked out was like every important thing got clinched like in the last 4 days, right? Man United with the Champions League and Brighton with the Europa League spot. And, you had the bottom of the table stuff, but that wasn't really relevant for fantasy because those tend not to be.
Yeah. You don't want to leave your fantasy fate to, you just can't leave your fantasy fate to absolutely horrid teams.
Yeah.
I mean, Leicester managed to handily beat West Ham. Great. Good for them. But
Can you admit now that maybe they should have gone for the win in that Newcastle match, which I have been loudly...
So there's just a misunderstanding of the argument that I'm making for Dean Smith's tactics. My argument is that he was going for the win against Newcastle and almost got it.
Okay, I see. Okay, that is a misunderstanding. I thought you were implying that he was going for the draw.
No, not at all. I feel like the smash and grab was the tactic, and that's a tried and true English way of going for 3 points. I think the smashing
should have happened sooner then. I feel like they weren't properly smashing that glass window and trying to take the jewelry out or whatever until like the 87th minute. I might have started the smashing sooner.
But, sure, and then leave a lot of time for the grabbing. You know, maybe you act natural after the smash. 10 minutes
for the grabbing, exactly.
fair. Right. But well, I mean, whatever. Like, yeah. Good. It's not good riddance to Leicester because it's. I mean, it's quite.
They'll be right
somber.
They'll be back because up next year. I bet.
I don't know. I think Leicester are in a position of they have to rebuild the business. The malfunction at Leicester is they've run out of money, it would seem.
Right.
Owner and dies. Now it's going to be compounded by the fact that all their best players are going to be moving on.
Yeah. But for
that
money,
high caliber.
I mean, that is the benefit, though, of where they are, is that they'll get these parachute payments and they get to sell. I mean, Tielemans doesn't leave in a free, right? Like, you know, a lot of these players are able to sell for some money. And so they're going to have like a couple hundred million that they can spend in the offseason without having to like open the owner's checkbook, really. Right. And so I think I think they have to have a reasonable chance of coming back up because, I mean, they're going to keep a handful of players, I would imagine, too. Right. Your boy Vout Face. I'm sure he's going to come back.
Stop and, it. Just stop that nonsense. I mean, we'll see. I'm curious to see. And it's like certainly clubs that go down that don't have like major infrastructure, like literal infrastructure issues, like great stadium, great fan base.
Yeah.
They just need to buy a few players and get in a good manager and make a run at it, sort of a thing.
All right. Well, that I think we can end things here because this is just our little run-up podcast. We have already been talking, you and I, Brandon, about some stuff that we want to do this summer, start of next year. So we're coming back. It's going to be a little bit different, I think, in a good way. I think about it. It will definitely be in a good way. We're going to build on what went well this year and not do the things that didn't go well, which was nothing, Brandon. No, and I'm sure that, you know, we're going to do an assessment of what we want to, you know, pick up the things that worked. And I think we're going to do a full refresh with our Patreon, too, and really think about what we want to offer people who support the podcast, too. And so we'll be talking to our Patreon supporters about that. And, you know, if you want to support the podcast right now, a reminder that in June you will not be charged. We will not be charging any of our Patreon supporters during the month that we're not creating content. And so July is when we'll sort of restart things. So restart doing, you know, exclusive content for our Patreon supporters. The Discord remain open the whole time, but it's, you know, so if you want to say thank you now or in the summer, you know, go ahead, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating to support the podcast. You can get some old episodes there as well, some Ask Us Anything pods on there and some other fun stuff.
Side splitting.
Your sides will split. In a horrifying way. Brandon, do you want to thank our producer patrons?
Yes, big thank you to, we cannot shout them loud enough, our highest possible Patreon tier. These are the legends, Mike DiPietro, Trevor Ingerson, our buddy Chris Howell, who is in Disney World right now. Let it shine, my friend. Babas Kuhn, James Holland, Dave Wagner, Lodal, Nick Wright, Lazaros Yanos, Jesse Halstead, Bruce Kerr, Brian Chin, tough luck in the last shooter standing, Brian. You'll be back next season. Blair Jacobson, Todd Byerly, Andy Portlock, Dan Parsons, at FPL Merch, who is a great resource for any end of season trophies that you might need. Also, Kerry Swanson, our producer Volkswagen head-to-head winner. Put a trophy next to Kerry's name. Jefferson Turner, Buffalo Wild Mings, Francis Moore, Sam Schauer, Caleb Robbie, Volger, Paulson Kruger, Alex Holcomb, James Keatley, The Saint, Bob Fox, Craig Jackson. Tough luck, Craig. You're confident that Leicester are coming right back up. What about Leeds, Josh?
Depends on who they keep.
Put a pin in that. All right. Thomas Andre. Thomas Andre, Shalin F. Kadakia, Terrence O'Donnell, Paul Hertzig, Keith Cram, Thomas Chislov, Noah and Louise, and Travis Grant. It is the end of the season. That is all she wrote. The curtain is folding, which means now is the perfect time Just take a moment. Open up that podcast app wherever you're listening and give us 5 stars. Leave us a rating if you'd be so kind. You don't have to give to the Patreon. That's the least you could do, and it really helps. Or follow us on social media so you can keep up with all those changes that Josh mentioned coming up in the summer and into the next season. Twitter, we're most active, at Hail Cheaters. Instagram is the same. Facebook, at Always Cheating. And visit our website for all this and more at alwayscheating.com.
All right. Thanks, everybody. And by the way, congrats to you, Brendan, to win your Gabriel Jesus versus Darwin Nunez bet, quite definitively, might I add.
Yeah. I love winning something. I was in the position to not win anything, and I won something. So, Marlon, tough luck. We both picked players very prone to injury.
Yeah, but in the end, definitively.
In the end, I emerged victorious, and I love it. So there we go.
All right. Thanks again, everybody. Seriously, thanks for listening all year, and thanks for all the kind words from people, people on Twitter and people in the Discord. And it's just, I don't know. Anytime anyone goes out of their way to say anything nice to anybody else, whether it's with this podcast or whatever, it always feels good. So thank you for saying nice things. And we'll be back next season. So talk to you soon. Bye.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.